Bloom. I am now interviewing Mrs. Nathan Katz, Molly. Tell me about your home in Europe. Where did you live? The country?
I lived with my parents. We were a family. My parents had 12 children at a time, and I was a teenager. There was only about 7. The children ahead of me or between me, I don't remember. I don't know if they were old or young, but they died before I had any contact with them.
And what kind of a house was that? In a town? In a small village?
In a small town.
And how many brothers and how many sisters?
I had 3 brothers and 2 sisters.
Mm-hmm. And were they older?
No, there was one was the oldest. Of course, I wasn't next to him. That brother was next to the sister when I came here. And there was 2 younger ones. Now, between the younger children, I was the oldest.
Mm-hmm. How long had your family lived?
They lived there for a number of years.
And what kind of work did your father do?
My father was by profession employed and a meal, the one that makes flour.
Mm-hmm. And what languages were spoken in your home?
There was spoken Jewish and Russian.
And did you have any kind of schooling?
Not very much. Now, I did have a little bit of schooling. The teacher volunteered to teach us. We didn't have a chance because it's a small town, and then there were 3 boys. And I think I didn't have to tell you when the boys and girls in the family.
Did the boys go to?
Yeah, the boys had to go to Hebrew school.
Hebrew school,
yeah.
And do you remember what your school was like in your town?
Well, correct. I didn't think we had a shul. We always used to go, if I remember correctly, my parents used to come in. We lived like a little bit of the outskirts of the city, and the sister, the one I came here, she's the oldest. She was the oldest of the family. She got married and lived in a small little town. And we used to come for the high holidays to our place and attend shul.
And were there non-Jewish people in your town?
Yes, there were many. In fact, we had my neighbors there right next door from us, on the back of us.
And how were your relations with them?
The relations were not bad till the time when the program started. And that was to the time of the United States were familiar with us. Procedures that the meeting just came in, and of course we had what they call a summer balloons, that means self-protection. There was a group of students that they took up arms and they were more or less trying to protect the civilian people in a small little town, and it started one night and it continued to the next morning. It started at Thursday night, and Friday night from 8 to 12, the little town was burned down. And
a lot of this.
Mm-hmm. Anyone in your particular family? Did your family or you belong to any political organization in those days? Any Zionists?
I was a Zionist at the time.
You were a Zionist.
Mm-hmm. I was a Zionist.
And it was allowed?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was allowed. We had a group of young girls and young boys that we belonged together.
What was the name of your group?
It was like a social group. They didn't have a particular name because I didn't think it was permitted.
Mm-hmm.
No, we were meeting and discussing. Sometimes there were reading things, so more or less performing like a little sketch of some kind, just to amuse ourselves.
And how was the relationship with the government in the country?
With the government at that time, it's been a long time since I left my parents and my family. That was through the time of the revolution. And we were not allowed to use any other language or any other contact, just that speaking Russian. We didn't have too much of contact. Of course, my parents were in a line of business, and we did come in contact. Now, that was only about maybe once or twice a week. My parents were used to buy up all the wheat and corn and so on. That was their income. That was their livelihood. Yeah.
And that's what. What did you think about America
at that time? I didn't have any ideas because I think I was too young, and that was through the First World War that we did not get any correspondence from my sister here. She came to the United States in 1910. And at that time, I was maybe that big, because there was a little joke attached to it. My brother was sitting at the table, and then Russia, when they came together, they were always entertaining, but drinking tea. So I came to the table, and I said to him, his name was Harry, called Anus. I said to him, let me go through. He says, I'm not going to let you go through. So I lay down on the floor and I go through his chair and his plate. So that's how much I remember of the old time.
Now, why did you leave then?
Well, it's a long story. Until you leave, I have to describe it why I left. See, at that time, as I said, in a little town from 8 to 12, the town was burned down, and the people were, some of them were killed, and some of them ran away. Of course, one of my brothers that ran away, and he came to the outskirts of the little town. And this man was a friend of ours. We used to deal with him in wheat and on different things. So he came down to this man, and he put him in the attic. In his house, and they were shooting, so he got a bullet in his foot. And the 3 days went by, and we didn't know if he was alive or not. Now, when everything quieted down, this man brought him with a pair of rocks in his wagon, and he was wounded. So that's how much I remember from that. And then the program was very bad. That day they destroyed. There was a fellow that I knew that married just a couple of days before this tragedy happened, and I was standing. You know, we had a small little house, and we used to, the flower, the one that used to go through, it used to come back, and we had it in one of the rooms. And that particular room was with iron bars. And I was trying to run out because they come in and they cut the flower there and put gasoline over it. And they were going to put a match to it to burn the house down. And there was a lot of people because we were living a little bit away from the heart of the city. And a lot of people came down sort of to escape the commotion and the tragedies. I was standing in that room, and I was trying to tear the iron bars down in order for us to go out to the back side. And this man was riding about there, and one of the fellows was sitting on the top of the horse and shooting right down there. So that tragedy, I guess, stayed with me.
So when you came to the United States, did you come yourself then?
Yes. No, I did not come directly to the United States. After everything quieted down, and I was the oldest among the children, my father was a middle-aged man, and he didn't exactly speak very good the Russian language. because when he was working in this mills, he used to keep bookkeeping and Jewish, and Jewish initials and so on and so forth. So when everything quiet down, this sister was here, and she took the time that what was going on in the United States. We didn't have no mail. 7 years went by. So after everything quiet down, the only way you could get in touch or correspond with anybody would be from Romania. So my father said he's going to Romania to find out if the sister is alive, and maybe she could do something for us. So I said to my father, there were five of us children, and mother and dad. So there were seven people, and I said to my father, if anyone is going to Romania to find out, because my sister's name was Anna, if Anna is alive, I'm going to go, because I have nothing to lose. I was young, and I had a little bit more I mastered the Russian language better than my father, let's say it that way. And I said, if anyone is going to Romania to find out if Inhana is alive, I'm going to go. And I left and I came to Romania. And it took me almost 3 years before I find out something. If you remember, probably, you do probably remember, they sent a lot of delegates from the United States to bring families, the ones they had. A half of the family was in Russia, and they had either a husband or wife was here, or children were with a mother there. So a lot of those delegates came to Russia at the time. And I was in a little town by the name of Yedinets. That was the name of the city where I was living. And the situation between the refugees, today they call them refugees, at that time they called them Bezhentsis. Between the Bezhentsis and the civilian people in Romania wasn't a very good one. So, and I never walked a day in my life till I got to Romania. And this place where I was living, I did sewing. My work at that time was the shirts, the ones they used to make, evening shirts with the little breast, all the tiny little tops. I was doing the type of work just for the room and the board. I was sleeping there without a pillow. And without my room, and my board was with maybe a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Now this is not important, so at that time I was in Romania, and I stopped corresponding with my sister, and I was very bitter, and my letters were sent, and they never came to her. So one day, one of the fellows, I was not a bad-looking girl at the time, and young, and I didn't know much of anything, and I wasn't interested in anything, so this fellow comes down to me and says, Manya, my name is in Russian, Manya. He says, Manya, there is a delegate in Aratel. They were in hotel business. There is a delegate in Aratel that he comes from the same town as your sister lives. They didn't call Pittsburgh, they called it Pittsburgh. I came down to him, and he was for 25 years in this country, and I was speaking very good Russian. And I talked to him, and he says to me, what can I do for you? Do you need any money? I said, no, I don't need any money because I worked, even if it was only my room and board. Now, what I want from you is to write me an English letter. And I did give him this address, and so a few, and a couple of days after the letter, I received a letter from my sister. And of course, I had to be a long time. He was not a citizen. I had to wait, and it took me about 3.5 years. After that. And he got his first citizen papers. This was my sister's husband and brother-in-law. And at that time, I had to wait, I guess, for my next, because I was not coming to a brother or to I was coming to assist her, and she is not a boss, so I had to wait for minutes, because first, the first group of immigrants were wives to husbands, children to parents, or brothers to brothers, and I was a sister to a sister, so I was way back in the alphabet. So I had to wait. And I said, took me about 3.5 years before I came to this country.
I'm curious as to why she was able to go and how she went by herself.
She was going up to the single girl. She was married at the time, and her husband was an only child, and he left his parents and despite him. And he came to the United States, and he was here 2 years. And then he came back. Now he couldn't remain already there. So when he left again, up his parents didn't have any more children. And my sister, Michelle and Peter, had one boy at that time, and a little girl, Rose. And his parents said, for the time, their son was in the United States and his family was in Russia. They had hoped they'll come back. Now when he came back, and he went back, he came back and he couldn't stay there, and he went back to the United States. They sold their house and everything, and shortly after he got back, he sent for the family. And his parents came along with my sister. So that's how she came here.
So when you came over then from the native United States, were you by yourself or with your
sister? No, by myself. And the reason why I went to Romania was I thought I would be the second Columbus. After all the commotions and the little town was burned down and the family was left without any means to make a living, and my father, as I said before, was trying to come to the United States, to Romania. So I be taught, if she is in a position to get the three children, that we could come to the United States and start working.
But you came by yourself then?
I came by myself, and
how
what
did
it stop?
How did you travel from Romania to
They sent me up papers after they find out.
You were both right at Romania?
Yes. I had from Russia to Romania, and that was Romania at the time. I had to skip the ocean there. It's been like a river.
Mm-hmm.
And I came by a ship.
Mm-hmm. And who met you when you arrived here?
Anybody? I came straight to Pittsburgh, and at the station, my sister and my brother-in-law met me.
But you arrived in New York, the birthland?
I arrived in New York, and from New York I had a direct ticket to Pittsburgh.
And what did you bring along with you, if you're not take any papers or objects?
Not very much. Papers were impossible to bring down because everything was destroyed.
And was your name when you came to the United States the same as it was in Europe?
Yes, my maiden name was Naaman.
Naaman.
Yeah.
So they spell it N-A-H-M-A-N?
M-A-N-N-A-N. I guess the same way you have it spelled here.
Now, do you remember what first impressed you when you came to the United States from New York?
I didn't go out of the to see New York because I was I had to wait for somebody.
You remember what first impressed you when you arrived in Pittsburgh?
Yes, I do remember what first. It didn't impress me. No, they both rest in peace, my brother and my sister. Thought that I would be impressed. And they took me downtown. It was before Christmas and did decorate. The stores were decorated, the windows, they used to have beautiful decorations at the time. They still do. And I didn't show any enthusiasm about it to my brother. I was a little bit excited, or even, what shall I say, mad, because he didn't excite. I didn't get excited. And he said to me, yeah, did you see that in Stivka? I said, no, I didn't see that in Stivka. And I was for a while in Bucharest. And their places are there, the stores there are beautiful, they're gorgeous. So I say, I saw so many different things, so I'm like a little girl that I go to your feet. So I wasn't so embarrassed.
Now, do you remember what your first day in Pittsburgh was like?
My first day in Pittsburgh, of course, I was happy to meet my sister after so many years not being here. Tina and the family, she had a lot of family. She had three girls and two boys. My brother was not setting the world on fire at the time. He was a boom paddler. And I didn't very well like it because it didn't suit my ego for him to be a boom paddler. And that was, I didn't stay too long. I have a lot of impressions of the United States because I've been straight to work.
Mm-hmm. So was there anything else about life in the United States that disappointed you in those early first 5 years? Besides the fact that your brother-in-law was only a boom paddler.
Yes. I did have some disappointments because after I came here, I found out that my brother was making a poor living and he couldn't do very much for the rest of the family. So I stopped working out of the way. You know, I was making fairly good money at the time. And the impression of the United States was this. I started working and I was not used to eat early in the morning. And I had to be at work at 8 o'clock. And my sister at that time lived on Bluff Street. And each machine went by and left it. Exhausting, a small cat, I used to get sick. And I wasn't too impressed because I missed my parents, the family.
Did you feel at any time that you were being unjustly treated because you were an immigrant?
No. I was treated very well. I made good money. I was working with a very lovely employer.
What kind of work did you do?
I was a seamstress. I never worked an electric machine. As I said, I came to this Tuesday night from the ship on Wednesday morning I went into work on account of the condition I left at home. So I started working on Fifth Avenue when the Imperial Skirt Company. They were the Alperns. And 12 or 7 Fifth Avenue. And at that time I was problem and not in this time, so maybe not even much. They used to wear the bungalow aprons, the curry crack strings. So the first day I made $3.20, which was a lot of money. I made $3.90.
After having lived here for 5 years, did you feel that you had accomplished your goal of what you came here for?
No, I didn't feel that I accomplished my goal. And for one particular reason, my brother-in-law remembered me for a young kid, and he said, came here and started working, and I suppose he expected me to give him the wages, and I did pay $7 a week for my boarding room. And that was my disappointment. After a while, the immigration stopped. I don't remember what year the immigration was stopped here. And I couldn't go back to the family because I had money. There wasn't a problem with the money, and I needed papers. And he was sort of disappointed. He said he's not going to give me any papers to bring anyone over. And when immigration stopped, I was very bitter.
What hours did you say it was that you worked a day from 8 till when?
We worked from 8 to 5, I believe, at that time.
Did you have to work on Saturdays and holidays too?
Yes, and I asked Mr. Alpern, the father of my wife, because there were two sons and a father in the business. And our payday was Friday. And I said to Mr. Alpern, first name was Sam, I said, Mr. Alpern, I would like to stay home because he says to me, go in and talk to my father. I went in and I talked to him. He says to me, Man liebe Kinder, if you want to have a job, you have to work Saturday. Of course, today there is a 40-week hour. At that time, when they were busy, you worked 6 days. He says, if you want to keep Shabbos, you'll never have a steady job. So I was a little disappointed, and I guess I needed to work. And I put myself down. I was always hoping maybe I'll be lucky to get a funeral.
How long did you continue to work there?
Oh, I worked there for a number of years. Of course, the first few months I started working, it was at Christmas time, and they start taking inventory, and he says to me, stay home, and I'll let you know by postal card when to come back. So I was too anxious, and I had, I guess, too much energy, and I went down to the United Biscuit Company, and I got a job there, and I didn't like it because it was too filthy today, and this and that, and I think I gave it up, and I stayed home for a while. Then he did call me back, and I worked there for 3 years.
Did you belong to any kind of a union?
No, I was a PLC when he spent the time, and I belonged to the PLC.
Yeah, I mean, at work, you didn't have to think with union?
No, at that time, there was no union.
Mm-hmm. If you had to live this part of your life over again, would you have gone into a different kind of work than
Saint? Yes, I often, even at the time when I was working, I was very disappointed because if I did know I had a little bit better education, I wouldn't have to work. I could have got my job, maybe a craftsman, as a sailor's girl, or anything else, because I was very ambitious and I wasn't lazy. No, that was in my way.
Did you have any schooling here in Pittsburgh at all?
I attended night schools for a short time, and I was too far away from school, and I was very homesick and very heartbroken because I felt there was no way after the immigration stopped or I would have a C-man.
So where did you learn to speak English and to write English?
Well, at work, we had a mixture of different nationalities that were Polish girls, there were American, a couple of them, and most of them were immigrants. Now, I learned as time was going on that I learned how to speak, speaking perfectly.
And to write?
I'm not too good at writing, the spelling holds me back. Now, I do read an English paper, read an English book, I can get lost. Let's put it that way.
But you did that all on your own?
All
on
my
own.
A
little while in the
night. Very little, because it was too far away and it was late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was afraid to walk home by myself. There were not too many girls living in the same section.
Mm-hmm.
So that called me back.
Did you have any Gentile people working with you also?
At that time, not too many, because my language wasn't up to keep conversation, and I wasn't too interested because I had my taste of.
Did you like any music? Did you go to any concerts?
Yes, I was attending concerts. Of course,
did you play any musical instruments?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Did you go to the Yiddish theaters?
Yes. Yeah. Whenever it was a Yiddish theater, we
other theaters.
We organized a group by the name of. The immigrants at the time, and we had a social, more or less like a little club. We used to talk together, we used to read, we used to entertain each other by a certain sketches, so make themselves happy.
Mm-hmm. Did you attend any lectures?
Yeah, I was attending lectures. It wasn't too often that they had lectures at the time, whenever I had a chance. They had lectures at the Hebrew Institute.
And did you ever have occasion to go to the public library?
No, I was too busy working.
Mm-hmm. And did you read any Pittsburgh newspapers?
Yes.
Do you remember which one?
The Press or the Post. I don't receive any papers at home because I have literature from I belong to the Pioneer and I get all the
mail. No, I mean then.
At that time, the only, the pastor, the pastor kept.
When you came to the United States,
yes, you'd already,
but you thought of yourself, of course, as a religious person.
Yeah, I just, you know, I couldn't, you know, I taught myself I was brought up in a religious home, and I couldn't keep it.
So that's the only thing that you really had to change.
I had to change.
The shop was working. And did you ever have a chance to go to a synagogue here in Pittsburgh?
Yes, I attended the synagogue. At the time, by my sister and the shul and this attended. At that time, she attended the shul. The one that I book is not here.
Shalatar.
That was one the shul they attended. They were members in that shul, and they were like, the Russian shul was very close where they lived. Close. It wasn't too close, but it was closer than any other shul. Mm-hmm. Then once about the time I remember, there was a shul on Washington Street. And that was really the closest to them, and they attended that shul for a while. So I attended with them because I was never a member in any particular shul. I wasn't married. And I was very attached to my sister, and wherever she was attending the school, I mean shul, I was.